bicycle lights hanging from the ceiling. Without power, they looked like strings of dull gray pearls. There was a guy behind the bar, a lugubrious fella, maybe 70 years old. He called out, "Get you something?" Reacher glanced around. The candles were all set on porcelain saucers, all the same, white and sturdy, like hotelware crockery, which was good, because saucers implied cups, and cups implied coffee, which was what he wanted. Black, no sugar. Except the power was out. He said, "What do you got?" The guy said, "Beer?" "Works for me." The guy ducked down to a silent refrigerator and put a long-neck bottle on the bar. Reacher took it. He thought the older couple looked a little upset. They were going to be stranded overnight, and they didn't like it. The younger couple weren't married. Reacher was sure of that. Not romantically involved at all. They were colleagues of some kind, like business travelers, except they weren't dressed like it. No suits or wrinkle-free fabrics. Both were in worn denim jeans and t-shirts and old leather jackets. Both looked fit and competent. The guy had short brown hair, neatly brushed. The woman had short black hair, cut in a bob that just missed her collar. Military, Reacher thought. Which made sense, with Irwin a hop one way and Edwards the other. Except they weren't American. He was sure of that, too. Some subtle thing. They were foreign contractors, maybe, or liaison officers from friendly forces out of uniform, maybe off duty. Or maybe not, because they looked just as upset as the older couple. They were going to be stranded overnight, and they didn't like it. Reacher took a table. The older couple fussed and stopped and started, as if they weren't sure whether to blame each other or reassure each other. The younger two stared at their phones and fiddled with a larger device they tried to keep hidden, but which Reacher recognized as a NATO transceiver tied to a joint command network. It wasn't working. He heard them whisper. Like BBC radio. British Army, he thought. Maybe do it Irwin for a training exercise. Maybe embarrassed they were late. No way of getting in touch. Bad show, not cricket. Reacher knew the British Army. It liked to be reliable, if nothing else. The woman got up and came over to his table. She was tall and lithe, and she had a great smile. She asked,
"Do you have service on your phone? Maybe you're on a different network."
Her accent was from somewhere in England. "I don't have a phone," Reacher said. "Sorry." The woman didn't answer. "Comms failures happen all the time," Reacher said. "Nothing you can do about it, soldier."
"Are you from Fort Irwin?"
"Is that where you're headed?"
"We're supposed to be there now,"
she said. "Who are you?"
"You first," she said.
"Right now, I'm nobody. Once upon a time, I was 110th MP.
"Really?"
"For my sins." The woman turned back and said,
"Tony, come here."
The guy got up and came over, just the same, tall and lithe, but no smile. The woman said to him,
"This gentleman was in the 110th over here."
The guy said, "When?" Reacher said, "Back in the day." "How far back?" "You were in high school, or the workhouse, or whatever you had over there." "Did you know Andrew Parker?" "British guy, he trained with us. He was a lunatic." "He was ours. They still tell stories." "Your first RMP?"
"Royal Military Police. They work for the Queen." The guy stuck out his hand and said, "Tony Jackson." The woman said,
"Annie Ness."
"Jack Reacher."
They sat down at his table, half lit by the window, half by the candle. Annie Ness was pretty, but tough. Not hard, but not to be messed with either. She asked,
"What kind of vehicle have you got? Ours is what they gave us at the airport."
"I don't have a vehicle," Reacher said. "Sorry."
"Then how did you get here?"
"Hitched a ride and walked the last 2 miles."
"Why?"
"It started snowing and the guy refused to go any further."
"I meant, why here?"
"Because it's supposed to be warm and dry." She didn't answer.